Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Bits scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Whoa! What a crazy day! It's Tuesday, August 2nd. We had the trade deadline. We've got big-time prospects coming up. We had one of the best pitching performances in Royals history and so much more. Welcome. Holy crap!
We really didn't need a trade deadline with all that happened yesterday. This was going to be a crazy day regardless. I knew I was in trouble, Adam, when I was on the second box score this morning and I was already half an hour into my research for the day.
It was really, that's a staggering day. And that's not even to mention Yasiel Puig. I'm Adam Azer. That's Scott White. Hey, Chris Towers.
Hi.
Even keel, Chris Towers, were you blown away by yesterday's action?
It was crazy.
Come on, dude. Show me something here.
Yeah, no, there's trade deadline, top prospects, one of the best pitching performances in Royals history from Danny Duffy.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. I think I covered that. All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. On the count of three. So look, we got Puig being demoted. We got Benintendi and Arcia coming up. We got Duffy. We got trades. Of all the things that happened yesterday, on the count of three, say the one name that you think is the biggest story from yesterday and or, you know, what's going to happen today with the call-ups. What's that?
Oh, hang on. I gotta.
Yeah, think about it.
I don't know the name immediately.
Okay, think about it. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
In the meantime, everybody, email us. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We have a lot of trades to grade coming up later in the show. Are you guys ready to give your one name?
Oh, so we're doing them all at the same time.
Yeah, we're all going to say to see if we all land on the same person. I predict
first
we
and
won't.
Last name.
Yeah, like if you were going to write a fantasy column.
Okay. Well, I happen to be doing that today.
I would never do that.
Okay. Yeah. Who would it be about? Are you ready?
All right.
One. Two, three, Max Kepler.
Edwin Diaz. Salazar.
I said Kepler. Scott, who did you say?
Edwin Diaz.
And you said Salazar, Chris?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And we didn't even name the prospects getting called up. None of us.
Yesterday was insane.
Or Danny Duffy.
Yeah, I know. A great day. Okay. Let's get right into it. Drop of the day. Yasiel Puig. Are you ready to cut him yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Because it seems like the Dodgers are about to.
Oh man.
Okay, so he did not leave the team, right? That was the initial report, and then apparently the team asked him to stay behind, and he started trolling Ken Rosenthal on Twitter. I believe is what happened.
Okay.
There was a lot going on yesterday. This Yasiel Puig thing, we could have waited until today to get the Yasiel Puig story, guys.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it sounds like the initial report was a little off about him storming off.
Has been sent down.
Yes.
Or will be sent down.
Yes. The idea was if he wasn't traded yesterday, he would get optioned to the minors, and that still seems to be in play. Though maybe his response to it.
After they traded Josh Reddick.
Wasn't as bad as it initially seemed. And so, yeah, maybe he does still have a future with the Dodgers, even though not much of a present. I think it's okay to cut him.
Yeah. Now, look, it's kind of hard to script this show because you want to talk about all those things and you want to talk about them early. So let me just tell everybody what's coming up on today's show. We will talk about Max Kepler and his three home runs and what he had been doing prior to yesterday's game was still pretty impressive. We'll update you on Danny Salazar, who's getting a precautionary MRI on his elbow. I think we kind of did just update you on Danny Salazar. Orlando Arcia being called up by Milwaukee. Andrew Benintendi getting called up by the Red Sox. The Yankees are set to make some big-time call-ups soon. Let's see. Edwin Diaz, as Scott mentioned, is going to take over closing duties for Seattle. I think you got to pick up Ken Giles. And, of course, there were a lot of trades yesterday. Carlos Beltran, Jonathan Lucroy, a new closer for Milwaukee. So all of that, plus some of the highlights from yesterday. I did a Twitter poll. Who would you rather have rest of season, David Price or Danny Duffy? First, you guys can answer. David Price or Danny Duffy?
Oh, I'm still taking Price, but Danny Duffy may have moved himself into the top 20 conversation with this performance. I think if nothing else, because here's a story that we haven't mentioned yet. With Aaron Sanchez appearing to only have one start left before he moves to the bullpen, the Blue Jays acquired three starting pitchers yesterday to make sure they were prepared for that. And with Drew Pomeranz showing signs of maybe the innings catching up to him, it's clear Danny Duffy is the preeminent SPARP in fantasy baseball right now. And, I mean, obviously 16 strikeouts and outlier performance, but I wouldn't call it an aberration. I mean, he's been a dominant swing and miss pitcher for a couple months now. This was actually 34 swinging strikes in this game.
Yeah.
Which is three more than Max Scherzer had in his 20 strikeout game earlier this season.
So that depends, I guess, where you're looking, because that's Baseball Reference had him at 34 swinging strikes yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
David Schoenfield on ESPN had Duffy at 35, which ties Clayton Kershaw for the most swings and misses in the past 15 years, according to ESPN.
And I would guess that's at least in the past 15 years.
Yeah, probably. It was an amazing start, and not much else you can say about Duffy unless you think now's the time to sell him, but it doesn't sound like Scott thinks that. Chris, how about you?
No, I don't think so. No, he's been so good for such a long time. It's been a remarkable season for him. We're never going to see him strike out 16 batters in a game, but it's pretty clear that he's a legitimate, you know, very, very good starting pitcher this season.
He's nasty. I mean, he is fun to watch. He is nasty. And by the way, the results of the Twitter poll, 2/3 of the people who answered would prefer David Price to Danny Duffy.
Oh, I'm actually surprised by that. I feel like those Twitter polls are more reactive usually.
Same here. And I thought Price would win. I thought it would be like 55-45. It was 2/3.
Good for your Twitter followers.
Yeah, smart
good
people.
For them.
Way to go.
Now, look, they could be totally wrong. Who knows? Salazar, precautionary MRI in his elbow. There were some trade offers in the podcast league this morning. I woke up to a trade offer. Did you guys?
Yeah, well, I got my trade offer at 2:30 a.m. and unfortunately somebody else was up at 3:30 a.m. and accepted theirs instead. Yeah,
right.
I would have taken Danny Salazar for Michael Wacha as I was offered.
Yep. Because I would have taken him for Scott Kazmir as I was offered. Instead, the Salazar owner is scared. He offered Salazar to everyone. He ended up getting Hisashi Iwakuma for Danny Salazar. What would you do if you were a Salazar owner?
Well, the way the Indians management is spinning this, and, you know, they could be, you know, making it out to be rosier than it is. But Salazar feels like something is wrong with his elbow. And he's felt like this for a few starts now. You know, obviously, it hasn't been going well for him recently. Yesterday was the worst yet. But the Indians don't see any reason to believe it's like a torn ligament or anything major. So they want to give him this MRI just for Salazar's own peace of mind to show him, hey, nothing's really wrong with you. You don't need to be scared out there.
But they also held him out of the All-Star game. So,
yeah,
you know, I think there's something to this.
Yeah, I don't doubt his elbow doesn't feel right. It's just, is it as bad as Salazar's made it out to be in his head? That seems to be what they're getting to the bottom of.
All right, the rest of the news, well, we have a lot more later, but the rest of the big news, Josh Donaldson was scratched from Monday's lineup. He did pinch hit in extra innings. He stayed in the game and played some third base, so hopefully we see Donaldson starting today. Yoenis Cespedes is not going to start today, but he might pinch hit. He could DH when the Mets move to Yankee Stadium tomorrow, play some games in an AL park. Aledmys Diaz is on the DL with a hairline fracture in his thumb. Tough, tough break for fantasy owners. Johnny Peralta is going to come off the DL and play shortstop tonight, and the Blue Jays are confident that Troy Tulowitzki will avoid the disabled list.
Well, at least someone is.
must add players. Okay, So I got some standouts from yesterday. I want you to tell me if they're must add. Obviously, league depth will matter, so we will put it in that perspective. Let's start, Chris, with Max Kepler, 59% owned, 3 home runs and a 4-hit day yesterday, 6 RBIs at Cleveland. And Kepler's now hitting .256 with 14 home runs in just 62 games. Since being called up or recalled on June 1st, not including yesterday's game, so before the 3-homer game, Kepler was actually the number 13 outfielder in points leagues and the number 21 outfielder in roto leagues since June 1st. So basically all of June and all of July. And again, he's 59% owned. Is Kepler a must add?
I think he obviously is. With the way he's been hitting, there's no question that you have to add him. I will say there's also no question he can't keep this up. If you look at his, previous 2.5 seasons, going back to the start of 2014, this is including high A, this is including the Arizona Fall League, this is including double A, this is including triple A, this is including a couple of stints in the majors before this season. He had 15 home runs in his previous 271 games. He has 14 in 62 so far. He had 1 in 30 games at AAA before getting called up. So it's not like this has been like a season-long power breakout for Max Kepler. He didn't hit for power in the first 2 months of the season at AAA, and then all of a sudden he gets to the majors and he's the best power hitter in baseball. I don't think so. But the way he's hitting right now, there's no way you can't pick him up.
Yeah, I don't. If the contention is he can't keep it up because he's the best power hitter in baseball, then I would agree with that. But is he emerging as a power hitter after not being one at all in the minors? I could buy that a little more, and I've been skeptical of it to this point. But we have a guy who's already blowing out any home run pace he had in the minors, and then he has a 3-homer game. You know, at some point, you can only play the idiot for so long, I feel like. And I'm about to that breaking point. As we've seen recently from players like Francisco Lindor, obviously Mike Trout is the most notable example, but Andrew McCutchen, you could go back and look at all kinds of prospects who weren't big home run hitters in the minors, and then as soon as they got to the majors, they became, I guess Francisco Lindor's not exactly a big home run hitter, but much bigger than he was ever in the minors.
Yeah. Can also pretty easily find guys who had 2 good months. It's not that hard to find that either. Like, there are just as many
good months where he hits a lot.
Yeah.
Like, each individual month he had hit as many home runs almost as he had ever hit in an entire minor league season.
I'm sure there are guys.
Well,
like
how
that.
About Naquin? I mean, probably he's reminding me of Tyler Naquin right now.
Look, I'm saying he's a must-add player.
Yeah, I know.
It's just if you don't buy that he's a power hitter on any level, then he's not going to be on your roster for long.
Well, no, it's not a power hitter on any level. It's just not this kind of power hitter. Like, maybe he's a 20 to 25 homer guy over the course of a full season, and he's just had a couple good months. Or maybe this power breakout is real. Look at the
25 homer season would be great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be disappointed.
He might get 25 homers this season. But the hard hit rate is there. You know, he's a pretty good contact hitter. So there is potential here. I would want to say that it could just be a couple of really good months that are making him appear better than he actually is. But obviously you have to add him.
Okay, would you rather have Tyler Naquin or Steve Pierce after Pierce gets traded to Baltimore?
Probably Naquin. I have big concerns about Pierce's playing time now.
Definitely
Naquin.
Definitely Kepler.
Would you
Kepler?
Rather, did I say Naquin?
Yeah, you said Naquin.
Yeah. Ah, all right. Would you rather have Kepler or Pierce? Kepler's
well,
the answer
Kepler.
There.
Yeah, Kepler by a long... I do like, since we brought up Naquin, I think the clear difference between the two, Kepler and Naquin, is that Kepler's striking out less than every fourth at bat, and Naquin's still striking out every third at bat. So, yeah, I don't doubt Naquin. I could see that Naquin is suddenly emerging as a power hitter too, but I don't trust the contact skills as much as I do Kepler.
Okay, so you'd obviously prefer Kepler to Naquin.
Yes.
Would you drop Curtis Granderson for Kepler?
Yeah, I think so, I had to, because Granderson's playing time is now in question as well, with Jay Bruce going to the Mets.
I have no idea what the Mets are going to do.
Oh man, yeah, that's a good call. What is going to happen there?
I was writing about that last night or yesterday, and I figure we'll talk about that a little later, but that I have no idea what they're going to do.
My guess is Granderson would play center field most of the time.
He's played like 50 innings at center field in the last three seasons.
Well,
Conforto had never played center field before, and they've been playing him out there recently. But I would guess they prefer Granderson's bat to his, so we'll see. I don't think it's an everyday situation for either, though.
Well, Justin Ruggiano started in center field last night, and he left with an injury. So he has a strained hamstring. So that's,
Yeah. That's what happens, too. Like, this is a thing that you see in a lot of sports, is when guys are pushed into situations that they're not used to, when you have injuries. Injuries tend to lead to more injuries, and you're going to have a situation where Curtis Granderson hasn't covered that much ground in 5 years. He hasn't played center field regularly.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're going to ask him to play center field. Don't be surprised if Curtis Granderson gets hurt, too.
Okay, let's get moving here. Two prospects being called up today. Milwaukee shortstop Orlando Arcia. That's going to move Jonathan Villar to third base. It's probably going to move Hernan Perez to the outfield, quite a bit. He'll play a little bit of infield, too. Scooter Jeanette's hitting very well right now, and he keeps on starting against lefties, so I'm thinking Perez will play more outfield. Arcia is 26% owned, and Andrew Benintendi is 31% owned. He's a Red Sox outfielder who's having a great year at AA. He's going to skip AAA and come right up to the club. Will not start tonight against the lefty. They want him to get acclimated. It's also possible that Benintendi will platoon with Bryce Brents and sit against lefties. Who's more of a must-add for you guys, Orlando Arcia or Andrew Benintendi?
I'm going to say Benintendi.
Yeah.
Both because the numbers have been better in the minors. You know, Arcia's actually haven't really even been good. And because outfield's actually the weaker position in fantasy right now. Benintendi, for him to be an impact fantasy player, he'll have to have one of those power breakouts like Kepler's had, because the home runs at such a young age, they just haven't shown up yet. But great plate discipline,
yep,
can steal some bases. And I think in a five outfielder league, will at least be a borderline start going forward. Arcia's a highly regarded prospect, but like I said, in a hitter's league at AAA, the numbers are underwhelming, about a 700 OPS. It's going to take him doing something like Francisco Lindor did.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of, is Francisco Lindor, always a top prospect, but it was more about, this guy's really safe. The glove is going to play. The secondary skills are there. We're not sure if the bat's ever going to be a high-level bat.
Right.
Now, obviously, Lindor has turned into that high-level bat that I don't think a lot of people saw coming right away. But he's also kind of an outlier. Most players don't improve that much when they make the jump from the minors to the majors.
Yeah, so I wouldn't pick up Arcia. Like, I'm not ruling that out for Arcia, yeah, but I'm not going to expect it either. And there's no reason to, because shortstop is so deep. I think, for the most part, you can let him lie.
Yeah, and the good thing is it doesn't appear that it's going to affect Jonathan Villar, who's been, I think, the number four shortstop in Roto this year and something like 10th in points leagues, and he's got something like 39 steals. So he's going to keep playing. Would you rather have Benintendi or Max Kepler, guys?
Kepler.
Yep, Kepler.
Okay, Hernan Perez, another home run, his fourth since the All-Star break. He's got an OPS over 1,000 with 8 steals since the All-Star break. He's 44% owned. We dismissed it yesterday, except for the steals. Scott said, you know, I like the steals with Perez, but not really buying the bat. Chris, how about you? Where are you at with Hernan Perez?
I mean, how could you not dismiss it? He's got a, what is it, 661 minor league OPS? For his career, he's not a young, dude. 664.
Yeah.
You credit. Hope the stolen bases stay, but or they should. But other than that, I just can't buy everything else he's doing.
Okay. How about Hernan Perez or Travis Shaw?
Perez. Stick with Shaw.
I would still go Perez.
Okay.
In a roto league, I'd go Perez.
Are you ready in week 17 or 18, whatever we're in, or 18, right? What are we in? 18?
Yes. 18.
Yeah. Are you ready to drop a guy who has struck out more than any player in baseball history in his first 250 at bats. I think that's what stat was, according to the, well, I'll tell you the paper later. I don't want to give away who it is.
Just say Byron Buxton.
Nope. A guy
just
who is
say
now.
Joey Gallo's
name.
Nope.
No, a guy who is now sitting against righties and only starting against lefties. A guy who we had huge hopes for, Miguel Sano. And that stat was from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Most strikeouts in baseball history in his first 250 at-bats.
No, because he's also Miguel Sano, you said?
Yeah.
250 at-bats. He has way more than that.
A game, 150 games. I think that's what it was. I got.
Yeah, no, he does have the most strikeouts in 150 games. There's a baseball prospectus piece about this. It was also, I think, the seventh most home runs through 150 games, or it was something like he's hitting a lot of home runs. He's walking a lot in addition to the strikeouts. So no,
he's not even playing right now. He's sat three of the last five. He's only starting against lefties recently.
Well, if that continues, then obviously we talk about dropping him. I think it would have to be like 10 teams or shallower for me to do it now, though.
Okay. So let's monitor that situation with Miguel Sano. I did not realize just how bad things had gotten for him. More players who might be must-ads. Let's go to a little bit of a deeper league here. Wilmer Flores. As Drubal Cabrera is banged up, Jose Reyes is on the DL. It seems like Cabrera is going to join him. Flores is 16% owned, hit his 11th home run last night. It was off a lefty. He was a little bit cold before that, 6 for his last 28 with a double, but he doesn't strike out that much. Flores, 16% owned. You feeling like he's a must add in, let's say, 14 team leagues or deeper?
I don't know. Must add's a little strong. I'd be looking to add him about on the level I would Jed Jerko.
Flores is I really like Flores. I'm glad he's getting playing time now, but his splits are pretty alarming this season. He's really only been able to hit lefties.
Would you rather have Perez or Flores?
Perez.
Yes.
Would you rather have Arcia or Flores?
Arcia.
Arcia.
Trey Turner, 70% owned. Does he need to be in the 90s?
I don't know. 80s, maybe. I'll split the difference there. I do think he's proven to be an elite base stealer. The contact skills are, raising some alarm in me. More strikeouts than I'd like to see for a player whose profile depends on him hitting for average. But so many steals, going to be dual eligible here soon enough. And
leads baseball in triples since his call-up, I believe.
Yep. Good extra base power.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I definitely wouldn't add him in head-to-head leagues that only award 1 point for stolen bases.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Two.
Okay. Looks like the strikeouts are coming down a little bit. Three strikeouts in his last six games.
That's good.
So that's a good sign. He was off to just a terrible start with the K's. Trey Turner, 70% owned. I need saves. Please rank these three guys. Edwin Diaz, Ken Giles, Tyler Thornburg. Edwin Diaz for Seattle, Ken Giles for Houston. As both Steve Cishek and Will Harris struggled yesterday. And Diaz is the closer. And Tyler Thornburg, who looks like he's the closer for Milwaukee. Rank him.
It's got to be Diaz number one. The upside he's shown, the crazy strikeout rate.
Tops in baseball. The best strikeout rate of anyone in baseball.
Really?
He's got to be number one. Are they going to give Giles the everyday closer role?
They haven't said that, no. Yeah. I mean,
that's the concern there.
Yeah. So that's why I'd go Thornburg over.
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly Giles is the prospective closer to stash now. Will Harris blew another one yesterday. Was it technically a blown save? I think it was.
It was 1-0 in the ninth.
And his ERA has risen from, it's over 2 now. It was 0.72 7 appearances ago. So that's a little rough patch there.
Sure. Well, things have changed for him and Aledmys Diaz since their duel in the All-Star game, huh?
And, yes, it has.
Luis Severino, actually, I can't find it. Is he joining the Yankees rotation? Did they make an announcement?
I know Brian Cashman mentioned him as someone that they think can help down the stretch because he was giving... putting on a brave face and making it sound like they're not throwing in the towel in the season.
No. Did you hear his interview on ESPN last night?
No.
This guy does not give two craps. It's unbelievable. He is the most candid man. He's like, we're pretenders. If we were contenders, we wouldn't have gotten swept by the Rays. So we're pretenders.
I had seen some quotes where he was kind of talking like they think they could still compete with the guys they have.
I kind of think that they can. Well, not really. Not with the Beltran trade. Look, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but Nova got traded, so Severino's 29% owned. I think we've talked enough about him recently. He's not a bad ad. I saw Chris, you picked him up in a league, right? Oh, no. It was the guy whose name is Chris Towers in our podcast league. That is not you. Sorry.
Yeah, he was the one who was up at 3:30.
Yeah, I had been stashing Severino for a while in one league where I had a minor league spot, but then once he got called up, I couldn't justify having him on my roster.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm probably going to have to cut him unless I see he joins the rotation, which is very possible because the Pirates have acquired Ivan Nova. Now let's talk about the trade deadline. After I tell you some good news for Danny Salazar owners, there are plenty of pitchers to choose from on FanDuel tonight. They're going to be better than Danny Salazar was last night. I can almost guarantee it. Gerrit Cole at Atlanta, $2,300 cheaper than Madison Bumgarner at Philadelphia. That's probably going to be my pick, Gerrit Cole. But plenty of good options on FanDuel tonight. Also, take a peek at NFL Week 1 prices right now on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Baseball and football, so awesome to play DFS on FanDuel.com. Hockey, basketball, college sports, it's all there. FanDuel, when those seasons are obviously in full swing. Contests start at just $1. Play in big tournaments, small contests, play against your friends. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel is going to give you a refund on your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Use our promo code when you sign up on FanDuel. It's home run. The promo code is home run. Click that microphone and type in home run, one word, no spaces. All right. It's just amazing that the trade deadline seems like it was so long ago because of everything that happened last night. Let's do value up, down, or the same. Texas acquired Carlos Beltran. Value up, down, or the same for Beltran?
Down.
Okay.
Why?
The park shift is a really, really bad one for him. He's someone that has relied pretty heavily on the short porch Yankee Stadium. Now, I think he's actually been pretty good on the road this season.
Yeah, I was going to call you out for that. I don't think that's the case with Beltran. I think he's been good everywhere.
He ranks, I believe there are, it looks like around 70 batters who have at least 12 home runs this season. He ranks fourth from the bottom in average home run distance this season.
Okay.
At 384 feet.
All right. I didn't realize he's been basically otherworldly at Yankee Stadium with a 302, 363, 598 slugging. On the road, 306, 323, 494. So he's been good on the road, but you're right. Beltran's been much better at Yankee Stadium.
It just, he hits a lot of really short home runs. Let me see. I think he's only got like five home runs past 400 feet this season. Yeah, he only has five home runs that have traveled at least 400 feet. He's got 8 home runs that traveled less than 375 feet at Yankee Stadium.
I imagine he will get more RBIs, but I guess that's the only case I can make for him. Good call, Chris.
Look, he's not going to be terrible. Like,
right.
He'll still be useful, but I think it's definitely he's definitely on the losing end there.
I would guess his owners don't really feel much of a difference, even if it is not a great.
It's probably like only 3 or 4 home runs over the course of the rest of the season.
Okay. Next, also, you know what happens there? By the way, Shinsu Chu's eligible to come off the DL this week. It's not clear that he will. I have to imagine they're going to want to DH Beltran and not play him in the outfield.
Yeah.
Who gets hurt here? Gallo, Profar, you tell me.
Well, Gallo is out. And I would guess Mitch Moreland is probably out once everybody's healthy, too. They just stick Jerks and Profar at first base. Maybe not. Maybe Profar is the odd man out again.
Gallo's just never going to get to play. It's going to be like the year 2050.
It's
funny.
Going to
be like, wondering why Joey Gallo can't get an opportunity.
And yet they won't let anyone pry him away from them in a trade. But they don't want to play him either. It's kind of a strange thing. If they don't have faith in him, it seems like they'd cash in via trade before his value drops.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, no, they wouldn't let him go in the Lucroy deal. Whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Jonathan Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffress go to Texas. Jeffress, who has there been an announcement that Dyson is going to remain the closer? I imagine he would be.
Well, the GM, John Daniels, right?
Yeah.
He said that he would imagine Dyson will remain the closer, but he'll leave the decision up to the manager. So I'm approaching it as if Dyson is the closer, but he has a very, very short leash. Oh. And in fact, short enough that I would expect him to lose the job.
Why? He's been good. Come on.
Jeffers is better, I feel like. Better stuff. Neither is much of a bat misser, strangely enough. But I think Jeffers just has a better arsenal for the role.
Okay. Yeah, Jeffers is pretty good. All right, so that's interesting. Keep an eye on that. If you own Sam Dyson, you might want to make alternate plans. We mentioned those three guys, Diaz, Thornburg, and Giles, that you could potentially pick up. Lucroy, value up, down, or the same?
Same? Maybe up a little, but yeah, basically the same.
I mean, he's moving from a pretty great power park, but he's not someone who relies so much on power for his value anyway.
Rich Hill and Josh Reddick go to the Dodgers. Any change in value there, guys?
Well, yeah. Rich Hill, I guess it's more theoretical because it's not like he had a bad win pace when he was healthy for the Athletics, but the chances of him sustaining that win pace are up drastically with the Dodgers whenever he returns from this blister.
A little bit of a worse home park, but probably not a huge split either.
Yeah, I think when we looked, it didn't seem like the home park in Oakland was a game changer for him anyway.
Okay, what about Reddick?
And Reddick, I would say, goes... Reddick, I think, actually benefits from that change of venue more than he'll loses from it, because it's a great home run park for left-handed hitters. Reddick has always been has consistently been a better home run hitter on the road during his time with the Athletics. My concern with him is just, are the Dodgers going to be strict in platooning him? Because that might cancel out any power gains.
Mm. Okay. Well, they're not going to do it with Yasiel Puig, it seems. The Pirates acquired Ivan Nova. Would you even be interested in NL only? Is he think he could have a little boost here?
I get that we think Ray Searage is magic, but I'm not interested.
Okay. All right. Matt Moore to San Francisco for Matt Duffy, Lucius Fox, and Michael Santos. This is a pretty interesting trade. What are your thoughts here? Matt Moore goes to San Francisco, and Matt Duffy, among others, go back to the Rays.
Yeah, I didn't know the guy providing Batman with all his gadgets was young enough for this.
Oh, yeah.
But, it's nice to see that he has a little side gig going on there. I actually think this is really good for Matt Moore. And I know we were assuming a trade would be a disaster for him because of his fly ball tendencies, but he goes from a pitcher's park to the number one pitcher's park in baseball. And now he's not facing the DH every time through the lineup. And now he has a good offense backing him.
Yeah, it's definitely an improvement for him. Matt Moore's probably been over-owned. So now his ownership rate is probably fair. You know.
Chris like spends he carves out good 10 minutes a day to hate Matt Moore on
Twitter.
Look,
the Giants got their Mike Leake replacement. It's wonderful for everyone.
Okay.
Do you think he's not any better than Mike Leake?
No. I think they're league average pitchers. He's fine. Like maybe in San Francisco he can post like a 3.7 ERA with his perfectly league average strikeout rate, but like we got to stop thinking of this guy as the guy he was 8 years ago or 6 years ago.
Hey, Eno Saris wrote an article.
Was it the one about the Rays and the home run issues?
I don't know. I haven't actually read it yet. Yeah. But the gist of the article is he thinks Matt Moore is back.
There was a piece on Fangraphs last week about the Rays' home run issues, the fact that they have specifically targeted pitchers who pitch up in the zone, and they've been hurt by what has been a really drastic league-wide increase in exit velocity this season. Exit velocity across the league is up by about 1 mile per hour, which is kind of crazy in one season. They've been hurt by that because they give up a lot more home runs than they would have last season because they put the ball in the air so much. I definitely think the move to San Francisco helps him. I don't think we should still use the word upside with Matt Moore.
He hasn't had nearly enough of a career to And most of the career's been good, I think, is worth pointing out.
It hasn't been that good.
It's been good enough not to be discouraged, I feel
like. He's had one good season.
And he has... This was more about him improving his curveball and changeup in recent starts and the belief that the swings and misses he's going to get are going to go up because of that. And now he has a venue change that'll help him and league change that'll help him. I think he's must-own.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You've thought that way for a while, Scott, to your credit. And Moore's pitched very well.
He hasn't topped 10 swing strikes in a start since June 24th.
I don't know, man. I mean, look, my argument was always, at the very least, you had to start Matt Moore at home. And now that, as we mentioned, that argument only gets strengthened. I cannot imagine leaving him on waivers if I saw him.
I mean...
But, all right, listen...
Fine.
You could imagine that?
No, like, we'll all add him. But, like, he's got a 5.7 K per nine over the last six starts. He has a 1.99 ERA in that span, so that's great. But, like, it just doesn't seem sustainable to me.
Okay.
Like, we've seen guys like Ryan Vogelsong and Matt Cain and Jake Peavy pitch really well in San Francisco, so I'm not going to entirely write it off. He will probably outperform his peripherals. But his peripherals suggest that he's a below-average pitcher.
All right. We've got more trades. And also, Jose Berríos, James Paxton, and Eduardo Rodriguez were really good yesterday. So in case people are tuning out, of those three, Berríos, James Paxton, and Eduardo Rodriguez, who is your favorite? Rank those three, guys.
I would go... I know I want Eduardo Rodriguez last. I would probably go Berríos over Paxton, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Well, I think both I would make sure are owned, so I'm not sure it matters that much who to put ahead. I will put Paxton ahead. I think he's closer to meeting the full extent of his upside than Berríos is now that he's incorporated the curveball back into his arsenal. And apparently the curveball wasn't even really working for him yesterday, so he kind of adjusted on the fly and started throwing his cutter more again. But whatever, as long as the curveball is an option for him as a legit third pitch and more often than not a good third pitch.
Yeah, he's got four now too, because he's throwing his changeup as well.
All right, even better.
Yeah. I'm going to punch
swings and misses go up.
I'm going to punch James Paxton. Not like really punch real James Paxton, but you know, punch my James Paxton on my fantasy teams. The one that I cut yesterday. For a roster spot for a freaking reliever. Because I can't deal with, like, the inconsistency is driving me crazy. But I think with a closer look, I feel like the inconsistency hasn't been as bad as I thought.
The fluctuation in innings, I think, makes it seem worse.
Yeah, and I would never punch James Paxton because he's like 6 foot 15.
Yeah, he's a lot bigger than you.
Just obliterate me. But yeah, I'm very mad at myself.
100 miles an hour.
Yeah, and yesterday was just a horrible day. Like, yesterday was one of my worst fantasy days of the year. I am so invested in Danny Salazar and Will Harris, for that matter, and Steve Cishek. It was just a really bad... I was in a crappy mood. Just, bad fantasy day, and Paxton made it even worse. Paxton just rubbed in my fantasy stupidity yesterday. He just made me feel so dumb. Sometimes you have those days where it seems like every move you made did not work out. So... That was yesterday for me. And I got that off my chest. Thank you. Finishing up the trades. Jay Bruce to the Mets. Value up, down, or the same?
Down.
Yeah, I think it has to be down no matter where he went.
I mean, he wasn't going to be as good as he was. Like, he wasn't going to continue playing as well as he has been moving forward. He's not hitting behind Joey Votto now, so those RBI opportunities aren't going to be there. And he's hitting in a worse park.
Mm-hmm. But at least it's not San Francisco. I have a feeling it'll be kind of like the Beltran situation where you may not notice it too much as his owner.
They may ask him to play center field. Okay.
That's a bad idea.
Okay.
Mets pitching staff value down.
Yeah, their defense is going to be terrible. Would you rather have Bruce or Beltran rest of season?
Bruce.
Yeah? Okay.
Yep.
Bruce or Hunter Pence?
Ooh. Still Bruce.
Maybe
Hunter Pence in a head-to-head.
I might go Pence. It's a close call.
Okay. Francisco Liriano to the Blue Jays. Any interest there?
No.
I think Francisco Liriano, kind of like Jay Bruce, like the opposite of Jay Bruce. He could be a lot better moving forward, and I don't think it will have anything to do with where he's pitching.
Yeah, I sort of agree. And we should give Toronto credit. I know we're in love with Ray Searidge, everybody is, but the Blue Jays, whether it's their hitters or their pitchers, they consistently seem to get a lot out of them.
And like, Ray Searidge wasn't doing much for Francisco Liriano this year anyway. I know we give him a lot of credit and he deserves it to an extent, but like, he couldn't figure it out this year. Maybe someone else can.
Sometimes I feel like Ray Searidge is sponsoring our podcast. We just love Ray
Searidge. There are like four pitching coaches whose names we know and we'll just keep repeating them.
I mean, there is a clear track record there, but.
No, I know.
Yeah. I didn't have much hope for Liriano with him, so change of scenery can't hurt.
Let me tell you about Ray Searidge. Ray Searidge is the only pitching coach I use, guys. And all right. Anything else here? There was a lot. Brandon Guyer going to Tampa Bay. We talked about Steve Pierce. His values are going from Tampa Bay to Cleveland. Yeah. Excuse me. We talked about Steve Pierce. His value is down because we don't know what the playing time will be in Baltimore. Some middle relievers were traded. Joe Smith to the Cubs. Fernando Abad to the Red Sox. Mike Bolsinger, Scott Feldman go to Toronto. Miami said, hey, San Diego, thanks for the damaged goods. You can have Colin Ray back. And they gave him back.
The Padres forgot to say no takesies backsies. No. The funny thing about that is that a prospect that the Marlins traded for Fernando Rodney got hurt three starts into his Padres career.
Oh, yeah?
And probably needs Tommy John surgery. So it's like, I guess three starts is better than three innings?
I guess so. Well, is there anything I'm missing here? Maybe a player from a team that made a big trade that, you know, now freed up a spot for this guy? And
Eduardo Nunez.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Probably going to play every day in San Francisco now that Matt Duffy's traded.
Yeah, I wrote a five biggest winners and five biggest losers of the trade deadline piece late yesterday. Nunez was on that. One of the losers who we haven't mentioned yet is Jose De Leon, who I think is pretty well blocked in Los Angeles again, which is a shame because I don't think he has anything more to prove in the minors. Still could come up this year, but don't see him having a regular turn.
Somebody will get hurt.
Who's going to play right field for the Reds?
Good question. I was thinking about that this morning.
Suarez played some outfield, right?
Peraza. Yeah, could be Peraza. And maybe that's the leading candidate. I could see Suarez going back to the outfield to clear up a infield spot for Dilson Herrera, who they acquired for Bruce and is overdue for a call-up.
Mm, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to make a huge impact in fantasy, whoever it is.
Okay, maybe Dilson Herrera for NL-only owners?
Yeah.
Sure.
Peraza over him, though.
Now we got Gary Sanchez, who's going to be called up maybe as soon as tomorrow for the Yankees. He's a catching prospect with some pretty good numbers. He's 23 years old. Also, Aaron Judge could be playing some right field before the season ends. He's supposed to come off the DL, I think, today for the Yankees in AAA and was playing very well before an injury. Gary Sanchez, though, is he potentially, you know, a two-catcher league kind of guy, a top 24 catcher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a pulse and a bat made out of wood, you're worth looking two-catcher leagues.
And they're probably
potentially
top
12. I mean, if we're going to be honest.
Probably going to use McCann at DH more often now when they call Sanchez up.
But really good plate discipline, you know, solid power, could be a difference maker catcher.
The future is now in the Bronx, ladies and gentlemen. We had Betances and Kelvin Herrera both record saves yesterday, so that was cool. Andrew Miller pitched in the 8th inning. He had not pitched since July 26th. He pitched in a non-save situation. They were getting blown out, gave up a solo home run to Joe Mauer, so probably can't glean anything from that, right?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Craig Kimbrell's back. Seattle might start Ariel Miranda on Thursday. He was acquired from Baltimore in the Wade Miley trade. I'm guessing he's not a big deal?
It sounds like they're going to stretch out Carnes again, Nathan Carnes. Mm-hmm. So don't think it would be a long-term thing for Miranda.
Okay. Daniel Murphy was back. He had a good game. The Mets called up Matt Reynolds, who started at shortstop. Is he just well, obviously he wouldn't be a mixed league guy, but is Matt Reynolds even an NL-only guy?
Very low end.
Okay. And Ryan Zimmerman day-to-day with a sore wrist. Carlos Gomez day-to-day with a strained hamstring. Ryan Braun, yeah, sure, he's expected back tonight. I'll believe it when I see it. Another thing that really drove me crazy yesterday. Stinking Ryan Braun. we got some time here.
He always drives you crazy.
He does. Let's talk about Chris Archer and Marcus Stroman and Kyle Hendricks. Three good starts in varying degrees. And Archer, for the second time in four starts, gives up a run in the eighth inning and makes his final line look a little worse than it probably should have been. Stroman, holy cow, 13 strikeouts in seven innings, three hits, one run. He's been pretty darn good lately. Kyle Hendricks, complete game shutout against Miami. Only his third start of more than 6 2/3 this year. But Hendricks is now 23rd best pitcher in points league, 11th in Roto on the year. Anything to say about Archer, Stroman, and Hendricks?
I think stock up for all three. Archer has been much more in control lately, even though it hasn't been reflected in the win-loss record. He's 5-15 now, which is really pulling down his value. Would have been nice to see him get traded, but fifth straight start with two walks or fewer, so that's a very good sign for him. It's funny, Kyle Hendricks, I've been ragging on him all year about how he doesn't pitch enough innings, too many five-inning outings, etc. Joe Maddon said, We might let him start going a little deeper now that he's stretched out a little. I'm paraphrasing there, but it's like, what do you mean now that he's stretched out a little? He's been in the rotation all year.
There's no mid ground. It's either 87 or 123 pitches now for Kyle Hendricks. Yeah, you know, I'm actually, this does make me, Kyle Hendricks is an obvious regression candidate moving forward, just because the peripherals don't back up him being a low twos ERA guy. Now that's not saying he'll be bad. He can be a low threes ERA guy, but coming off 123 pitch start, that's a little worrying. Like that, well, that's one where I could see him struggling in his next start if they can't get him an extra day of rest.
I had the same thought. First of all, understand that they played a 10-inning game the night before, yeah, and they needed him to go deep because they actually used Brian Mattis just to stretch out their rotation a little bit. They really needed him to go deep, so they did.
Yeah.
I had the same thought as you did, Chris, but he threw
117 pitches on June 29th, came back with 5 1/3 innings with one unearned run allowed in his next start.
Yeah,
I assume that's where you're going. Sorry, that is where I was going.
You just got to it before I did.
Man. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a positive sign, but still 123 pitches is a lot for someone who I don't think he had thrown more than 100 in his last four starts.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Now, it's funny that you call him a regression candidate, and I agree that 2.22 ERA, you know, could rise a full run before the season's done. And yet, I feel like his overall value can only improve because of how tight they've been with his innings. Like, it improves his win potential. Obviously, the innings themselves are a good thing.
Okay, last player I want to talk about today, and tomorrow I want to spend some time, of course, things are always subject to change, on Jose Bautista, who's really not having a great year. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Who was I going to talk about? Adam Conley. Adam Conley had a bad start at the Cubs, and I've kind of noticed he's kind of a matchups guy. Seems like his good starts are against the Atlantas and the Philadelphias and the Cincinnatis and the Mets of the world, and I did just name three divisional opponents. Yeah. I looked at Conley's remaining schedule. He's at Colorado at the end of this week. If he stays on schedule pitching every five games, which he probably won't, he would face the White Sox next week, at the Reds, Kansas City, at the Mets, at Cleveland, but that could be Philadelphia, depending, you know, their back-to-back days, the Dodgers at Philadelphia, Washington, that could be Atlanta, and then the Mets. So I think overall it's not that bad of a schedule.
That's a pretty good schedule, yeah. You're not starting him against the Rockies. You're probably sitting him against Cleveland if he gets them. Other than that, you know, maybe if it's Washington, you'll probably sit him. But other than that, that's a pretty good schedule. The one thing you do have to keep in mind, the Marlins are likely going to skip Jose Fernandez at least once, probably twice, for the rest of the season. So the rotation's going to have to get jumbled around a little bit.
Yeah.
Around that.
Right. His schedule could only get better, I think, if he doesn't stay on this, because, you know, he could get an extra start against Atlanta, an extra start against Philadelphia.
That would be nice.
And now some emails to end the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. Grade the trade from Jared from Illinois. Hey, Vic, Shane, and Lem. Hey, thank you guys. Now, you know, Chris, don't even. I know you're straining over there. It's the shield. It's the shield.
Oh, okay.
It's my fave. Jared from Illinois gave up Blackman, Chris Tillman, and Sam Dyson. Blackman, Tillman, and Dyson for Mookie Betts and Felix Hernandez. Grade the trade.
I give that an... I'll go A minus.
Yeah. If Dyson loses his closer's role.
Do you think Felix is an upgrade from Tillman, Chris? Because that would be the only thing that might lower the grade for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Felix is an upgrade on Tillman.
Okay. I feel like he definitely is, but I could understand not feeling that way.
Adam from Charlotte, you're Chipper, Fred, and David.
It's the middle of the Braves lineup circa 1995.
I am in a 12-team head-to-head 7x7 categories league.
Okay.
That adds strikeout to walk and quality starts. I don't know why I read all of that. I guess it's
I got fine. All of this.
With Greinke, Greinke coming off the DL, who do I drop? Here are his options. DeSclafani, Guerra, Skaggs, and Keuchel. He's thinking about dropping Keuchel.
I would drop DeSclafani. I feel like the upside's lower than all of those others.
It was either DeSclafani or Guerra for me.
I really like Junior Guerra, maybe more than anyone else in the world does. I just feel like that split finger is overpowering pitch.
No, they don't like him, Chris.
It's more sustainable. Sure, it's more sustainable than his history would have you believe as a 31-year-old rookie.
I don't think people are being fair to Dallas Keuchel. He was pitching pretty darn well before an awful start on Sunday.
He had been good for about a 10 to 12 start stretch before the other day.
Yeah, chillax, people. Keuchel will be all right. But this week could be rough because he's been pretty bad against Texas this year. From James, is Jung Ho Gong droppable in a 16-team league? Would you rather drop Gong, Altair, or Steve Pierce?
Steve Pierce.
Yeah, you'd probably rather drop Pierce.
From Jerry, dear Jeremy, Jonathan, and Carlos.
Oh, I feel like if I had enough time to think about it, I could figure this one out.
We'll let Chris grade the trade, and you can figure it out, Scott, okay?
Okay.
Jeremy, Jonathan, and Carlos. Grade the trade. 10-team categories league. Give up Jose Quintana. Get back Adam Jones. He still has Cueto, Hamels, Shoemaker, Roark, and Tehran. So he gives up Quintana and gets Adam Jones.
See? It's fine. It's not amazing. It's not bad. It's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe a little lower. I think I'd rather have Quintana, but it's totally fine.
Scott, you're on the clock here.
I had to cheat and Googled it. It's the Rangers' three big acquisitions from yesterday.
Wow.
Jeffress, Lucroy, and Beltran.
That makes sense.
Jonathan from New Jersey says, hey, Ann, Leslie, Ben, and Ron.
We know that one.
That one's easy.
Parks and Rec, right?
Yep.
Been a while since I've watched that show.
I actually started rewatching it the other day.
I've only seen like two to three seasons of it.
Oh.
How many shows are you watching at a time, Chris?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because you were just tweeting about Stranger Things last night.
Well, Stranger Things is just a once. Look, my wife and I, we're watching Mad Men very slowly. We're watching Stranger Things. And every once, when we're going to bed, we'll just throw on a show that we've seen before. New Girl, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, just to put on while you're to ignore,
Yeah, that's what we do with Modern Family.
And you watch sports on top of this?
Yeah.
Good grief.
I don't have a kid,
I guess that changes things.
I don't have a kid. I don't play video games. Yeah. I just sit in front of the boob tube.
Okay.
Get those boobs.
Jonathan's trade. He gave up Ryan Braun and Michael Fulmer in a 14-team, three outfielder categories league. Gave up Braun and Fulmer for Stanton and Zach Davies.
Braun and Fulmer for Stanton and Davies. I'll call that a... I actually kind of like it because I like Stanton that much more than Braun. Yeah. I'll say C+.
Yeah, I was thinking C+. The fact that it's head-to-head categories almost makes me like it more just because we assume that Ryan Braun's going to get more time off. And that would hurt me more in a weekly league.
Yeah. So I have a feeling I'll be hating Ryan Braun again before the season's over.
Probably.
That is it for today's show. Chris and Scott, good stuff. Tough show. Actually, not a tough show. Just a busy show. And thank you for giving the people what they needed.
I wish we could do more.
Thank you for giving the people what they needed.
As much happened as yesterday, I feel like we shortchanged it still, but we did the best we could with the time we were allotted.
And if you need more, you go to the website and you read on cbssports.com/fantasy, read everything that Scott and Chris and Alan Heath have to say. That's it. Bye. Machado or Bob.